This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Roll into hour number two. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We have your calls. We'll get back to the conversation with you, but we welcome into the studio Dan Graziano, our NFL insider. Dan, how are we doing?
Great. How are you guys?
Well, good.
Kuna Matato.
Just talking about it a little bit here before we come on, and we've gotten tons of calls on it. A lot. Yeah, we just roll with it.
All right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I got him a t-shirt and everything, you know, just so in case he forgot he could look down. He never wears it.
No.
That's what I get for giving him gifts. No, meanwhile.
Put in glass.
You did you? Yeah. Right. Exactly. But we were just talking about it, and yesterday's press conference was very interesting from Robert Saleh with the Jets.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's not like he said he's not going to play him.
Right.
But he's just kind of leaving the door open for them to make a decision. So not committing to Zach Wilson as QB1 for this weekend's game after everything that happened in the game and then, of course, post-game, which had everybody upset. What are you hearing about this? What are you gauging from this, and what are you predicting will happen from this?
Yeah, the other thing about that press conference, it was late. So, you know, they were having meetings on this, right? So I think as of last night, I didn't get the sense that they had settled on a decision. And I think they're in interest. I kind of believe Saleh when he says, I want to look at everything, consider everything. If I had to guess one way or the other, based on the conversations I've had about this, I would guess that he probably gets another start this week, and that they want to see how he handles everything that's currently going on. Mm. I guess it's possible they could be unpleasantly surprised by how he handles that. And in which case they could go the other direction. But, you know, it's the Bears this week.
Soft landing.
Got a chance to look a lot better than you look against the Patriots. I mean, there are some reasons. Look, there's some incentive to stick with him, right? He's the number two pick in the draft. If he's a bust, if he's a flop, they all have a lot of problems. So I think it would be a pretty dramatic move for them to bench him, even if you can make the argument accurately that he might deserve it.
Isn't this a teachable moment?
Yeah.
It seems like they taught Elijah Moore. Yeah, but it seemed like they taught Elijah Moore a lesson.
Yeah.
Seemed like they taught Denzel Mims a lesson, right? Didn't play him.
Yeah.
Didn't dress him, or did dress him and didn't even have him in a game plan. So if they don't teach him a lesson, what is that saying to the team, and also what is that saying to him that he's above reproach, and all he has to do is say the right things for a week or two when he's shown you before he left, right? If you know, and then he came back against Buffalo and said, "Hey, well, if you guys you know knew what you were talking about, you would be coaches or players." Right, assuming that everybody's asking the questions, don't know anything about football, like they haven't seen football, like he doesn't have a level of respect for the media. And here, that's a bad game and dangerous game to play when you talk about taking on the media, because that assumes that you have to be perfect. He hasn't even made it yet to show us that he can play at a high level.
I don't think that his treatment of the media is going to affect their decision. I do think I understand what you're saying about how that reflects on him. But I think it's about internally, right? And how the players on the team are receiving it,
right?
And how the other coaches are receiving it, and what they think will be the outcome. Look, I think you can make a compelling case that it's time to sit him down for a number of reasons, not the least of which is performance.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a difficult tightrope that they're on, because they're all incentivized to try and make this guy as great as he can be. And the question is, does not playing him help you toward that goal right now more than playing him would? And I don't know that there are any easy answers there.
Dan, here's the part where I struggle with the NFL and something that we've gotten to. And every time I bring it up, it's always a preposterous thing. Why do you have to play a guy you took number two? Why? Why do you have, like, Trey Lance, another great example.
Mm-hmm.
They move up, they get him, and all that stuff, but you still have Jimmy G. And then when he got hurt, put in Garoppolo, and now it's like, well, you can't go back to Trey Lance. Jimmy G has this team playing well again. This notion that they have to play Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Why can't you? And this year, you have Mike White and you have Joe Flacco. There's not a lot of great options to go to. Not like a Jimmy G. But who's to say that you can't say, you know what? We drafted him. He's not ready. He's still immature. He needs time. We're going to go out and get a veteran quarterback, somebody good, not like, you know, mediocre. Somebody good that's our QB1, and we're going to develop him.
Right.
Why does it have to be? Well, we got a 5-year window, we got to get it right. Well, and then if he's not good in 2 years, Throw them out the window. Why does it have to be that way?
Because of the way rookie contracts are structured.
Oh, I understand, but
and
it
by the time you
sense.
Hit the second year, the team has paid 60% of the contract already.
Mm-hmm.
So an owner justifiably will look and say, well, why am I throwing money down the drain here every 2 years
why is it
to
down
replace
the
quarterback?
But it's not down the drain. Well, I drafted a guy. He's not ready yet, but he could be in 2-3 years if we just put the right kind of time
well,
in.
I think there's
like
a
Jordan Love.
I think there's a sense that you get better by playing, right? So the reason to play him is because you think that's the best thing for his development. And that gets back to the whole question of, like, what is the best thing for Zach Wilson's development at this point? Because Zach Wilson's development still matters in the big picture to the Jets, to Robert Saleh, to Joe Douglas, to the other players on that team.
Understood.
So you're, in a way, it would almost be easier if they were like 2-8, right?
Cause absolutely.
Then you can, right? Cause, but now you have these guys that are busting their tails and winning games and in contention for the playoffs. And so it just throws another complicating factor into it. But in terms of answering your question, you pick a guy number two, it's a heavy-duty investment, not just financially, but also in terms of the pick. If you mess that pick up, it's a major setback for your organization.
But it rushes it microwaves the development of a quarterback who might not be
ready. As long as rookie contracts are 4 years plus an option, it's going to be microwaved.
Well, the problem is the team is ready.
Yeah.
Right. So the team is ready above the development
faster
and the readiness.
Than you thought.
They've done too good a job.
He's not ready. Right. Like
it should
his
be
speed.
Like it should be like Justin Fields, where he's just out there just winging in.
Oh, of course.
But that's not the case
for the quarterback, and that's ideal. Believe it or not, to lose while he's getting better.
Yeah.
But the Niners now. Let me bring that in because they look really good. Do they really go into this offseason saying goodbye to Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yes. They were public about this.
Does it make sense?
The only reason he's still on, there's two reasons he's still on the team. One, they couldn't trade him. Two, he accepted a significant pay cut.
I understand.
Like a pay cut that they thought he wouldn't take.
I understand.
Hey, Jimmy, we'd really love to keep you, but this has to be the number.
We know it's insulting.
And they're like, they're ready to go. Okay, good luck to you. And he says, yes. And they're like,
Are they a Super Bowl contender?
I think
can they get to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so. I think
so hell do you then say goodbye to this guy when all he does is win?
The same way the Ravens got rid of Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, the same way the Chiefs got rid of Alex Smith. I mean, like it's
because,
not...
Because you're looking for something special behind.
But weren't a Super Bowl contender with Alex Smith.
They had the best record in
division
football
champion.
For like the last five years.
They got upset in the first round by Tennessee in a game where they blew a big lead at home. I remember I was at that game. But that was different. And Mahomes was coming on. Like, we don't know what Trey Lance would have been this year. We really didn't get to see him. But the reason, and Kyle Shanahan has been open about this, the reason for drafting Trey Lance when you have Jimmy Garoppolo was, A, Jimmy gets hurt a lot.
Yep.
And B,
reset the cap.
They really do feel like Lance, because of what he can do athletically in terms of running the ball, in terms of throwing the ball, ceiling, right, at the position. So, like, Kyle Shanahan, play caller, play designer, can design and call more things for a player like that. It's all about Josh Allen. It all is because Josh Allen kicked the 49ers' butts late in the 2020 season. And if you listen to everything Kyle said before and after that game, it was all about Allen and what an incredible thing it would be for an offensive coordinator to have a guy like
that weapon. Yeah.
And so he found in Trey Lance, that's what he projected.
All right.
And that's why that pick got made.
All right, so Dan, then maybe that is the perfect scenario. What the Niners have is, okay, Trey Lance got hurt, but we've got this guy. This is great insurance, and we can still be successful. And then next year we've got him. Whereas, as I said, the Jets' answer would be Joe Flacco then, wouldn't it? Not Mike White. Well, at least it's a guy that's been there.
Well, Mike White gives him something more athletically.
Yeah.
Right? So you need a little bit more. You saw Flacco. He was good when he was protected.
Can't move.
But you understand how many of these young guys are in front of him. Max Mitchell, Herbig.
Right.
Everybody's hurt in front of him.
Right.
So you need a little bit more athleticism. Okay. Hey, I said this earlier on the show. I said that the 49ers, to me, was the Tennessee Titans of the West in the NFC. What do you say about that as far as their physicality and style of play?
Team you don't want to see.
Which plays well in the playoffs, running the ball and physical at both offensive and defensive line.
I think Mike Vrabel would cut off his right pinky finger for just even one of the dynamic offensive weapons that the 49ers have catching the ball. I mean, like, I agree with what you're saying in terms of the way they play physically.
The brand.
But the Niners have, I mean, Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey. I mean, like they have some stars with the ball in their hands, and I think other than Derrick Henry, the Titans don't have one of those. So I think there's a big difference there in terms of the way that they win and the way that they score points.
All right. So going back to the quarterback conversation, now let's go to Green Bay. Do the Packers get to a point where $50 million Aaron Rodgers sits and they play Jordan Love season, which feels like it's lost?
I think two things would have to happen. One, you'd have to be mathematically eliminated from postseason contention, which they're not.
Yeah.
And number two, you would have to get an honest answer from Aaron Rodgers. Are you coming back next year? Can we count on you to come back next year? And I don't think they're in a position to get that answer in November or December. I just don't think he's ready to get it.
Why would you play him anyway?
Yeah, but even if he's coming back, mm-hmm. wouldn't you want to develop the guy who you think the third year of that contract,
yeah.
That's probably a dummy contract. And, you know, we think there's a 1 or 2 year deal for Aaron Rodgers, not a 3 year deal.
It keeps him there for two.
Right.
For sure.
So, like, if it goes into three, then Jordan Love is going to walk out the door without ever playing or starting two games his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
That would be.
I mean, they have to decide in May on Jordan Love's fifth year option for 2024.
Which is
probably $18, $19 million, right? To sit on the bench.
Make them want to play him at least the last month of the season just to see him in live action and see what develops and then make if you know you're not going to win, why? So
do you want to work on like a script that we can send to the Packers coaches and front office for how they approach this with Aaron when it's time to have that conversation? Because we know how Rodgers reacted when they drafted the kid.
I imagine he'll handle it very well.
He decided to, you know, like go scorched earth, win two MVPs, and make the entire organization bend to his will. So I don't know. Hey, Aaron, you know, we're out of it. We'd love to sit you down for a month and play the kid. I don't know. I'm just not sure that's going to be a great conversation.
Last thing for me. The Giants.
With all the injuries.
Yeah. Can we be seeing that by Thursday? Look, if they lose Thursday, is it time to push the panic button?
Wait, what did that make them? 7-4?
Well, yeah, 7-4, but they still have Philly twice.
I know. The Giants, I think, have been playing over their heads, right? Yep, I mean, they're not like one score games. And full credit to Daboll and to Saquon and Daniel Jones. I mean, they are tough and they have won games they shouldn't have won. And no one would be surprised because they're sitting here 7-3 to see them in the playoffs when the playoffs start. However, I don't think they're as good as their record says they are. And if they do fall off a cliff here in the last couple of weeks, I just don't think that would rank real high on my list of surprises.
Right now, Commanders or Giants, better football team?
Wow. You got that response.
I don't know.
Tough to say.
I think the Commanders have more. I think with the Giants receiver issues right now, probably. Maybe on defense.
Daniel Jones back next year, yes or no?
What's the price? What's it cost? That's what I want to know. And that's the thing. Like, it's not just a matter of a yes or no.
Don't you
Daniel
feel like
Jones.
That should just a short-term deal and it works?
Jameis Winston type of deal.
Yeah.
Not two years, $28 million.
As long as he'll take it, yeah.
Two years, $40 million.
Who's giving him a...
That's a good question. That's why I would. This is too nitty-gritty, but I would give him the transition tag. Because it's cheaper in the franchise tag. You don't have a July 15th deadline to work out a deal like you do with the franchise tag. And... You know, if somebody wants to come in and offer you picks to take him away, you know, tip your cap. I don't know. I don't know who out there is going to give him a contract that's going to be better than what he'd make on that tag.
Yeah.
Not with Jimmy G looming in free agency next year.
Yeah, Jimmy G.
Jimmy G would be the number one guy.
Problem
out
is
there.
They might have to tag Saquon, and you can't tag them both. So, I don't know. Tough decisions.
Yeah,
yep, absolutely.
But still, seven.
And they're not going to have a high enough pick to get, you know, whatever, C.J. Stroud.
Because they've had too much success, which is bizarre to say. But you know what? Again, it's been a season for Giants fans that they were not expecting. Pleasant surprise.
And a lot of reasons to hope for the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing you haven't been able to say this for a while, they have a coach. One thing you do know, and you know what? It always starts there. Dan, great to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving.
It's my pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. I hope you
enjoy.
All right, coming up, we'll get back to your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But first, this from LinkedIn. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Creating a free job post at LinkedIn Jobs is simple, easy. It takes just minutes. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions makes it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience. You can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/. That's LinkedIn.com/.
Bart.
Post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Interesting what Dan Graziano said there about Zach Wilson. He feels like, seems like he'll get one more game. Bart, how come Robert Saleh didn't make the change in-game? You already saw it wasn't going anywhere. Why not?
You're probably just hoping.
Just one series. Mike White, let's see if you give us a little something. Because all you needed was one field goal, and you probably win that game.
Probably just hoping that, you know, something to spark, or he'll make a play, and or the
defense
make a play.
Is he not like giving up on a guy? It seems like Saleh is very invested in, like, if I do that, I don't want him to think I gave up on him.
Because we saw Bill give up on Mac Jones in one quarter. Like, oh, this looks like crap. Yep. Oh, Bailey's
happy. Yeah. Right. Like I see where this is going. Sit him. I know what Zappy can do. Put him in there.
One quarter.
And, I mean, that's the thing. If Mike White plays in the – and it comes out in the second half and is under center, is anybody mad? No.
Nope.
Does anybody blame him? No. And if it fails, you still go, well, you know
he
what?
He was trying to win.
If two series it looks bad, all right, Zach, get back in there. And if Zach Wilson has a problem with it, it just reveals more of his character. So one way or another, I think that was something that during the game should have been considered, and it wasn't. So no matter who you start against the Bears, you got to feel like, all right, it's a game that you should win because your defense is just that good. The offense just has to be competent.
Yeah, and you know, especially if you know Justin Fields is out. That's why it's a great time to have a teachable lesson when you feel like the threat is low and he's had to sit down.
Yeah, it's a good point, too. This is the game to sit him because it's not as much of a you feel like you can win it regardless, right?
Right.
Because you don't want it to sacrifice a game to make a point.
And God forbid, like, Mike White snap off and have one of the Mike White games like he had against Cincinnati. You're like, oh, snap.
Yeah, I think if they felt like that was a potential, that they probably would have made the move a lot sooner. Let's continue with the calls. More news from Barton Hahn Nation. We've got Will in Jersey hitting us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. What's up, Will?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing today? Oh, man, I just want to say I'm honored to talk to y'all, Bart and Hahn, man. Hahn, I go back to you, man, on the night show, man. Like, your vibe at night was amazing. I miss it. Bart, I love you. I watched you. I followed you. But listen, I want y'all to know that I trust y'all with this opinion that I'm about to give you, because we in such a touchy time, and it's a lot going on in our freaking country. But I love sports, but I can't help but see certain things. Boom. Okay, coming into the draft, we had Zach Wilson, we had Mac Jones, we had Justin Fields, we had Trevor Lawrence. Now, you guys remember specifically the heat that came down on Justin Fields, like, out of nowhere. This kid played at Ohio State. He saw all the competition. He saw everything. He saw the lights. He saw the bright lights. As soon as the draft comes, we start hearing all of this negative crap about Justin Fields. Now, Zach Wilson went to BYU, nice offensive line, it looks real good, but we put him up on his pedestal, man, and, like, he's doing the very thing that they said Justin Fields would do, and I know we can't go back and redraft and rechange, but as a black man in America, it just bothers me so bad, and I love sports, man, I listen to y'all, like, I follow the thing, you see what I'm saying, but it just bothers me so bad that black quarterbacks go through so much, and then I gotta sit here, and I'm a 49ers fan, like, shout out to the Niners, but I got to sit here and I got to watch this kid, but I support the Jets for my grandfather, and I got to watch this kid make a mockery of the position and the responsibility, and all I can do is think about the fact that the Jets could have drafted Justin Fields, and look what he's doing. They talked about his character. They talked about his work ethic. Can he read the field? Blah, 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 blah. Lamar Jackson went 30th, and I don't want to make it about race. At the same time, who would you rather have right now, man? And it just hurts me. But I really love you guys, and I feel the most comfortable bringing this to y'all.
Sometimes it can be unknown biases that people have, and we talk about the buzzwords that are Kenny Process. You know, those were things that were used against African-American quarterbacks. And, you know, when they were coming up, when they were trying to get them to change positions, whether you're talking about Hines Ward, whether you're talking about Randall, Cordell Stewart. But, you know, it's kind of different, I believe, in this instance. Of course, a lot of times people bring up negative stuff about players because they want them to fall because they're trying to get them as well. But for as much slack that that Justin Fields took, Trey Lance didn't take those same darts, and he actually got overdrafted, right? Because, you know, he shouldn't have been as high as he was. Justin Fields should have went before him as well. So,
am I still on?
Yeah, we got you, Will. I mean, I'll say this.
Oh, nice.
But Will, let me
say this because I know my time is limited. I'm sorry, Bart. That's a hell of a point you just made, man. Like, for real. That's deep. And so that's why I was trying to be touchy with the race thing, but it's just something that I know you guys, you can see what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, of course.
Like I said, we can't go back and change it. But
I want to remind you, Will.
Man.
I completely understand the frustration because we've seen it year after year. I mean, the Lamar Jackson thing drove me nuts. That draft, I was all over that draft. The Jets were drafting high, and I put a lot of effort and time into that draft because it mattered. And Lamar was like, I mean, I love Josh Allen, I love Sam, and Lamar. Those are my favorite quarterbacks in that draft, and I couldn't believe all the stuff said about Lamar. But let me add this, though. Let me just add this, Will, because we got to run. So let me add this part of it, Will. Is that Zach Wilson, because I paid attention to this draft as well, and it was the number two pick, and Zach Wilson was Bo Callahan from draft day. He was the guy that wasn't named captain, and there was a lot of question marks about that.
Yeah, like
he had all the talent,
not the captain on his team.
But it's like there were a lot of that stuff. And Bart and I had talked to his coach at BYU, and his coach insisted, like, no, there was no. He's a great kid. Steve Young, great kid, great family, all that stuff. You kept hearing it, but I saw him as an Abercrombie and Fitch kind of kid.
Yeah,
you know that's the poster. You know, you see it, and he just has that same. I call it RBF. You know what I'm talking about? It's a certain resting. You know what face. That he just has on him that is a certain look that makes you like feel like, I don't know. Like, the vibe was never right.
Yeah, and he has to mature. Like, that's the thing.
And that needs to happen.
Can grown men or people that have been some way for 22 years, first of all, you have to recognize that you're wrong and recognize how you're perceived and not say, well, they're wrong, and maybe take an internal look at yourself.
You have to have humility.
Right.
And that's the question.
Or you have to be humbled.
Or it has to happen to you.
Right.
Correct. Either you have humility or you're humbled. But one way or another, that moment's got to happen. And if it doesn't, not only do you lose your team, you eventually lose your job.
Don't be Baker Mayfield.
Learn
Johnny Manziel.
The mistakes of the past. And that's what you worry about now. Look, the pick is already made. He's already on your team now. Where it goes from here can decide whether or not it was the wrong pick. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to more of your calls. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
I should ask you a question just when you were about to take that.
That's nothing to chew, though, so I can just suck that down.
Excuse me? Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. That's a long break, so we both try to scoff down a little lunch in between. And as we were coming back, I saw Bart reach for the tomato soup.
Yeah,
and I thought this is the perfect time to ask him a question.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, by the way, and we all know the game isn't over till it's over. So next time you need parts for your car, don't call it quits. Go to eBay Motors. They have 122 million parts. They counted every one. To take your car into overtime, get the right parts at the right prices. eBayMotors.com, Bart Scott.
Let's ride.
Let's ride.
Man, it's talking about disasters,
right?
But how do we like the game going south of the border? Because I feel like we put more time and more effort
into Europe
than we did in our neighbors that are right here. It is very easy to have games in Mexico.
I think it's easy to put a franchise there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what about the politics and all that type of stuff. Like, I don't know, like, what's different for the Toronto Raptors, you know, being a part of a American league, but stationed in Canada. I don't know if those change jurisdiction, money, how you pay your players, all that stuff. I don't know how that works.
You mean like?
Because you're getting paid in foreign currency,
right.
The organization. How's that transferred and you know, to money, especially do you let that be a American-owned owner, or does it have to be a Hispanic or Latin owner?
I don't know. I think they would just...
Like the people that own the Raptors, whoever are they wants, from Canada?
No, I don't think you necessarily have to be. I think it's just you can put the team there. I don't think you have to be from there to have a team there. It doesn't work like that, right? Okay. Like, who is it?
Shaq Khan?
I'm trying to think of, like, no, there's somebody that, like, he made his money in one city but owns a franchise in another city. I mean,
what is Dan Gilbert? Well, Dan Gilbert,
in
Detroit. He's from Detroit.
That's right. He's a Detroit guy, but he's in Cleveland. I don't think it matters. What I think would matter more is the fact that the stadium they played in is 7,300 feet above
ceiling. Yeah, you're talking about an advantage.
Like
blood doping, like playing in Denver bone crack.
Right. Well, think about it. Denver is 5,279. It's still another 2,000 feet higher. So no one really talked about it. Now, the Niners were smart.
Thin air.
They went to Colorado and trained for the week. So it's sort of like get yourself a little more acclimated so it's not that big of a shock. But
they didn't go to Big Bear.
Still. It's interesting. But I think Mexico City could end up becoming, you know, one of those target
locations. That'd be dope. If we expand, put one there and put one in Europe.
It's a lot more travel. But obviously, then it starts to become a global game. So popular here in the U.S., they're really trying to see if it can take hold around the country. But as we were just talking about at the start of the show, the actual football, that's the international sport that's so popular. And coincidentally, right now, you have the World Cup going on. Lacto, are you watching any games right now?
No, Mexico drew 0-0 against Poland.
See, much better.
Memo Ochoa, who's a goalie for Mexico, made a big penalty kick save on Robert Lewandowski in the second half that probably could have turned the entire game on its head. But 0-0, Mexico. Okay.
So is America playing New Zealand next?
See, why are you doing this?
All right, go to calls.
Yeah. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's continue the conversation. We have more news from Barton on Nation. We have Goldie in Jersey. He wants to sound off, hitting us up on the Dr. Bubba call online. Goldie.
What's up, gentlemen?
How we doing?
Love you guys, man. Best combo since Eric B. and Rakim. But
okay,
I want to talk about the Jets, man. And what I legally bet and close out every parlay with the Jets plus 3.5. And I just can't think of another fan base that deals with more heart-wrenching nonsense. Like, that was take it to overtime. You know, whatever. And this guy kicks the worst punt ever. The guy who receives it clearly sees the field and just takes it to the house. Another devastating loss. But that's neither here nor there. I want to talk about Zach Wilson. This guy should be – I don't condone violence, but he's got a very punchable face. And if you have a defense like that and are playing your – butt off, and you can't get a yard, then you shouldn't even expect to be starting the next week. Mm. You're a professional athlete that can't get a freaking yard after your team plays their hearts out. I say Salah introduces Zach to the bench. Bench meet Zach. Zach meet bench. Stay there when you're not a puppy, when you're a big dog, because we're ready to play big boy football, and you can't get a freaking yard. Are you kidding me? All right, man. I'm sorry to vent so hard, but that's
what we're here for.
Pathetic.
Yeah, I feel it all. I feel it all, Goldie. Thank you, man. Thank you. I feel it all. Like I said it immediately after the game, when that ended the way it ended, I said I should be surprised, but I'm not. Like I'm not. Like you know, you feel the inevitable is always going to come because there's that one weak link, and it's Bill Belichick off a bye. And if you don't think that he's uber prepared, especially to beat you. You think Bill Belichick will do whatever it takes to beat the Jets, especially in this situation, knowing that if the Jets won this game, I don't know. He knew what was at stake, and Bill Belichick treated this like he treats every game, but there was a little something extra. So he had all the stops, but they should not have lost that game.
Yeah, I'm saying even with all that.
Right.
They were being dominated on. He didn't figure out what to do offensively.
No, they couldn't figure that out. Joe Judge couldn't figure that out. And then he put like some little extra on it.
Oh, we lost to the best fourth quarter team in football. Like, it's always something. I can't wait till this dude is done, man.
You've had enough of him. Let's go to Gary in Ohio. Gary.
Hello.
How you doing?
I wanted to talk about Jimmy G, give him some love. So if you all recall the first game of the NFL season last year when 49ers visited Detroit, and Jimmy G marches the team down, all the way downfield, and they're going to score, there's no doubt about it. Coach pulls out Jimmy G and puts in the rookie guy to let him get the glory, right? Scores the touchdown, but here's the thing. Jimmy G, he's standing on there. He's smiling. They're like, this guy's like he had a picnic, you know? And that's the thing with Jimmy G is you cannot get in this guy's head. And he might not be the greatest skill-wise, but I'll tell you what. You're never going to – I almost said a bad word. You're never going to mess him up by, you know – throwing shade at him, I don't think. And that's his strength, man. He's like Superman like that.
There's certain,
I love Jimmy G.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling, like, I keep saying this, Kerry. I feel like this is one of the most underrated starting quarterbacks in the league. I don't think he's a superstar. Like, I would never argue this is, you know, top 10 and all that stuff. But he's 35-17 as a starter. He has gotten to conference championship games. He's gotten to a Super Bowl. It's not like he's inept.
Talking about Flacco?
Well, no, I'm talking about Jimmy G.
Oh,
Garoppolo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, Flacco has won a Super Bowl. I'm talking about like a guy that, you know, like he's just like when I said to Dan, like the Niners could get to the Super Bowl this year and still say we're all set. Like, it's crazy to think that here's a guy that only does. What has he done wrong? Is that what he's done wrong? Is that he's average.
You got to pay people too. He'll never agree to the contract that he agreed with today because he knew he had to, and he got all it back in incentives. Mm-hmm. But if Trey Lance didn't go down, he wouldn't be making any money. He's not going to do that. Remember, you have too many young players to pay. You got to pay Ayuk in a minute.
Yep.
Like, you already got CMC. You got to absorb that contract, what that salary cap hit is next year. Like, so. You have to see what the young guy got, because imagine what it gives you with Elijah Mitchell, CMC, to be able to have the RPO game, and you can basically play like Jalen Hurts, and now you got money to keep buying extra pieces.
Yeah,
you can go get Robert Quinn.
They've got to get Trey Lance there, right. And that the little bit that we saw, it didn't look like he was there yet, but again, remains to be seen. All right, more of your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, let's take a look now as we're, you know, again, heading into now the next week of the NFL season. We have Super Bowl contenders. What would keep these Super Bowl contenders from getting there? What's the one thing, the weakness? Like I said, the thing that you know, the Achilles heel. What is the one thing that'll stop these contenders from getting to the Super Bowl? We'll discuss that next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
So the Knicks win last night, Bart. Come home from a 5-game road trip with 3 wins. Sitting at 500. Got a couple of days off. Tonight in the NBA, Ben Simmons back in Philly.
He spoke about it, right?
Yeah.
He said maybe it won't be so bad.
No, he did not say that at all. But no Embiid, no Harden, no Maxey. So, like,
can he put up?
The only thing Ben Simmons is going to deal with is the crowd.
He had 22 the other day. Let's see if he can put up.
He's getting
30.
Back. Getting his legs under him, back in his shape. So we'll see. You know, Kyrie
would
back.
Would it be enough time? Would
all
it be
this stuff now aside, are the Nets, you know, can they find themselves for a little bit here before the next controversy?
Will he be back to form in enough time before Kevin Durant forces the
season?
Yeah, can he sell hope? Right. And you see Ben, like, hold up, Ben just like Giannis held him down to 15-10. Hold up, hold up. I can work with this.
Yeah, I don't want to be traded anymore. We shall see. Anyways. Back to the NFL conversation. We do have your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart, I'm going to give you a couple of Super Bowl contenders, and I want you to tell me what is one thing that could keep them from getting there, okay? Let's begin with, right now, arguably the best team in the league, with the best player in the league, the Kansas City Chiefs.
defense. Not being able to stop. You saw what Herbert did.
Yeah.
Like,
you really say defense?
He did say defense.
Defense. What, you want me to blame the offense? Yeah, the offense. No, the offense just did it without Juju Smith-Schuster and Mecole Hardman. So if this team is going to have Achilles heel, it's going to be because they can't stop anybody. It's going to be because a quarterback named Herbert or Lamar or Burrow or Allen has the football and the defense has to win the game for him, and Mahomes can't do anything about it, and this time they win. That's the Achilles heel. That defense. That defense, don't get it twisted. That defense is not good.
Defense is not good. Stosh takes it very personal that you said that.
Okay, the offense. The offense don't put up 55 points.
Chiefs middle of the pack when it comes to defense right
now. Yeah,
right,
they're in the middle of a pack. Believe, and part of that is because their offense, they wouldn't be in the middle of the pack if their offense wasn't so damn good.
Okay, so you believe, all right, so defense for the Chiefs. I'll give you another team. What would keep this team out of the Super Bowl? The Philadelphia Eagles.
Philadelphia Eagles. Their run defense.
Yeah.
The fact that they run defense.
They had Sue, they had Joseph.
And it still didn't really matter. But it still really didn't matter if you watched the last game that they had. So for them, it's the run defense. And, you know, teams are going to try and play keep away from that offense and keep them on the sideline and force them to have to score every time they touch the ball, which is hard to do because it's hard to establish a rhythm.
All right, how about this team? We can argue whether or not they are or not Super Bowl contenders, but with the Miami Dolphins, what would keep them from getting there?
Tua Tagovailoa's health and arm strength. And I say that because if they go on the road, you got to have – you heard Zach Wilson, who has a strong arm, the crosswinds.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're playing a game and it's windy, how far can you really throw it to the cheetah if you're going to spend half the game throwing into the wind and the other half with the wind? So,
all right, that's good. Dallas Cowboys, what would keep them?
Dallas Cowboys? I would say the running game.
The running game. It's their strength.
If they get away from their running game.
Okay.
Like they often do.
Right. But, okay.
It would be a lack of a running
game. Is there a team that doesn't have a weakness? Can you see a team that you're like, man.
Every team has a weakness.
Every team has a weakness.
Every team has a weakness.
There's no one that you're like, it's such a minuscule weakness that they're going to get.
Yeah, this
like Buffalo. Buffalo showing us now all of a sudden, right?
Yeah. Well, like, that I think their weakness is the fact that they don't have, one, a consistent running game. Mm-hmm. And with them safeties being hurt, it's really difficult for them to stop the run.
All right, coming up next, is Jimmy G creating a problem for the 49ers? We'll discuss next. Stay with us. Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.